This is Beyond the Couch with Bridges, a podcast at the intersection of Asian, Pacific Islander, South Asian American identity and mental health. I'm Christy.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Diana. We are three therapists who got together in the hopes of demystifying therapy and uplifting stories from our community.
Each week, we'll connect with fellow therapists, experts, and community members about life, identity, and healing. We're so glad you're joining us today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Beyond the Couch with Bridges. I'm Christy.
I'm Diana.
And I'm Sam.
And Sam has something ready for us today. So I'll hand it off to you.
So I had this idea. So I peruse the website app called Reddit, which I'm sure many of you have heard of before, which for those maybe who don't know, it's sort of just an online anonymous discussion forum with a bunch of different kinds of threads on different topics. And one really popular one on the website is called Am I the A-hole? Where people will post questions about things that are going on in their lives and then ask for, I guess, advice from the Reddit community or ask advice from anonymous people about, was I in the right or was I in the wrong? And sometimes when I'm on it, I see ones that come up that are related to therapy and things going on in relationship with the therapist or things that are coming up maybe between families or couples in regards to therapy. And I thought that we could, you know, read some of these examples and process a little bit our feelings and maybe use it as an opportunity to talk about some common misconceptions, maybe some etiquette and protocol around therapy, and just see where the conversation takes us. And maybe we won't be ruling on whether or not the person is the a-hole, but we can share a little bit of our perspectives or reactions if maybe we were working with a client who was going through something like this.
Yeah. Cool. And just so everybody knows, Christy and I have not heard these before. So you're getting real-time reactions.
Yes. And I'll also share that, you know, these, like all things written anonymously on the internet, we have no way of verifying whether or not these are true. So we're just going to, you know, we're just going to operate under the assumption that these are people's real experiences and not things that they're making up, which I know is a common thing that comes up a lot of times around people saying, this doesn't sound real or this sounds like it was a made-up thing. Okay, so should we just get started?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first one is, am I the a-hole for not telling my mom what I discussed with my therapist during therapy? And here's the context for the post. I started going to therapy around February and March. I was going through an extremely difficult time in my life and I needed it more than ever. If things got better, I would stop for a couple of weeks. And if it got worse, I would always schedule a session with my therapist. But whenever I would have therapy, my mom would always ask me what I discussed with my therapist and I would feel bad if I didn't tell her. If I don't, she says she worries nonstop and keeps on asking me and sometimes gets upset. She understands that it's breaching my privacy, but she keeps on asking. I usually tell her a broad topic that I discussed, like telling her my problems with my anxiety, but she usually isn't satisfied with just that answer. I understand completely that I'm her son and it's natural for her to worry, but I just rather keep what's in therapy. I love my mom and I understand how she feels, but what's the point of a therapist if I'm just going to also have to tell my mom everything? Also, right now I'm going through perhaps the hardest time in my life and I need therapy, but if I don't tell my mom every detail, she would get upset, which puts more pressure on me. Okay, what do we think?
Well, for anyone who's listened to our other episodes, I'm thinking about the drama triangle and listening to it. And this person posting or writing it is an adult. Do they say their age?
They don't say their age in this one. Usually they do. I'm guessing they're either maybe a late adolescent, maybe early young adult, based on, it sounds like, them still being around their parents a lot of the time.
Yeah, I feel like there's this triangulation. I feel like the whole dynamic is essentially the son, the writer, trying to help his mom regulate her worry and her emotions by giving her information that's not necessarily hers to be entitled to. But I can feel his like filial stress about whether to let his mom worry in ignorance or to actually give her more description. But I'm really cautious about whether that will actually soothe her or if it'll give her more details to worry about. What do y'all think?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a very indirect way of him trying to regulate his own anxiety as well, right? Like by regulating his mother, he feels less anxious in the end as well. And maybe that's a dynamic that he's been living with for most of his life and now affecting his ability to go to therapy and have it be his own experience.
Yeah, I think the piece that stuck out to me a lot about this one too is you can sense that there's a lot of care on his end, like concern for his mom, not wanting her to feel upset, feeling appreciative of her. And at the same time, some acknowledgement that it sounds like he doesn't necessarily get as much out of the therapy if he feels this pressure to tell her everything that he talked about. And I think that the points that you guys both made around, is it maybe more about mom's own anxiety about what's being discussed in the session? Is telling her even necessarily really helping? And that maybe they are both capable of tolerating a little bit more distress around the uncertainty and not sharing than maybe they're both giving each other the opportunity to do right now or to practice.
Yeah, because it essentially sounds like him being in therapy the way that, maybe not the way that he describes it, because he'll say if he's doing better or worse, he'll do more or less therapy accordingly. But then that might also reflect mom's concern that if he is going to a therapy session, there's something wrong that I should be worrying about, or I need to know what it is. Maybe that there's some semblance of control over what is wrong or what he's working through. It does remind me of like a lot of clients or people just in the AAPI community who feel like the stigma in their family or their community is that you go if you're crazy or if there's something wrong with you or if you're severely mentally ill. And that complicates it, puts a lot of pressure. And then parents are like, so when are you going to be done with therapy? And clients are like, I'm just doing it for me now. I have this relationship, or I just want to make sure I'm reflecting on myself regularly. So it's not necessarily like a solve or a treatment, always viewed like that.
And I can imagine it's really difficult for someone who's just starting out in therapy to really own that with their parents, right? Like the most important people in their, I guess, self-conception from a young age, if they're young themselves, right? To be able to confidently say, well, you don't need to worry about that. You know, I'm going and I'm okay and it's helping me and you really don't need to worry about that, right? Because that would be a more, you know, a different way of managing it, but also I imagine very difficult for someone who's still in this dynamic.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. And, it's so easy to say these things of like, well, this is what I would do, or this is what I would advise my client to do. And the truth is, we don't have the full context. So we don't really know all the complexities about the dynamic going on there. But I think a little bit about what I would tell, sometimes when you're working with a minor, the parents might want to know everything that you're talking about in therapy. And technically, as a parent, they do have a right to that information, but it's not always so helpful for the minor to have the parent know everything about what's going on in session, as long as it's not, they're not at risk or their safety isn't at risk. And I would frame it along the lines of, I know that this is coming from a place of concern, that you care so much about your child. Therapy is actually oftentimes more effective and gets better results if what I talk about with the patient remains confidential between the two of us. And if there was anything of a serious, safety concern or risk, I would tell you those are the times that I would involve you in the treatment. But respecting those boundaries is really helpful. And I'm wondering if some kind of conversation along those lines between him and his mom could help, framing it as, I know this is coming from a place of care. I know you want to know what I'm talking about. I actually feel like it helps me more when it's able to be just between me and my therapist, at least at this stage right now. And I don't know, see how that goes.
Yeah, because maybe mom would still be like, no, but I'm too worried. Like, can you just give me like one little hint, you know, and like ask for a little crumb?
And it's interesting because he says he's doing that and it's not enough, where he'll say, I talked about my anxiety today. And it's like she wants
Right.
to know every bit of it.
Yeah.
In a few of my past clients, I have met with the parents. Sometimes they don't live in the country. And, you know, one time the family was coming to visit and I had offered, I said, if you want your family to know about this and you want them to be a part of session, we could do one family session, whatever's comfortable for you. And in other cases with minors, I've also done a family session in certain cases when parents did have questions or maybe were not as supportive of therapy. I found that it was helpful to just have them be able to express what their concerns are and, just talk it through.
That's a really interesting and I think good idea, Diana, too. Because I wonder maybe this mom's anxiety would feel relieved if she knew the therapist and had a sense that, they were like a well-trained professional. They seemed like they were handling the son with a lot of care, that even sometimes just that contact maybe will alleviate some of the anxiety that mom is feeling. That's a really good option, too, I think.
I'm like flashing back to being in college where I was seeing this like on-campus counselor. And I think at some point I was like, what would it be like if I brought one of my parents in to a session? And she, we both like sat on it for a week. And then she came back with her thoughts and she said, I don't think I'll invite your parent in because it might be more helpful for you to get to say these things directly. Which, like, recounting that now, I might still have thoughts about it. Like, I don't think it's like wholesale the best idea, but there was something to that of if you're going to bring in another family member, maybe the therapist becomes this sort of proxy or this mediator. Naturally, that's like the most natural role we would take, but it might also add to like the complex dynamic because then the mom would still feel like, oh, well, now I know who your therapist is. I could just reach out to them directly if I needed to, or tell them information if I think it's relevant. There's a risk for the therapist to be brought into the unhelpful dynamic between mom and son. But yeah, I agree. Like, I think both of you said something to the effect of like, if the therapist can do well and handle it, then maybe there's a lot of great work that comes from it.
Okay, well, so how is this one feeling? I mean, it sounds like, I'm feeling for the person who posted this. That's a really tricky situation to navigate. And I think it's reasonable if you don't want to tell your mom everything that you talk about in therapy. I think a lot of people would feel that way.
Yeah, I'm envisioning him just saying, I know you're worried, and I know that's hard for you.
Yeah, it's so
That's what it is.
simple. He's the therapist. Yeah.
Okay, should we move on to the next one?
Yeah.
So conclusion, nobody is the a-hole.
Yeah, but they got work to
Okay, let's see. Okay, here's another one. My wife has struggled to find a therapist for a couple of reasons. It's hard to find a provider that accepts our insurance. Sometimes she'll match with one only to find out that they're not licensed to practice in our state. My wife has been adamant that she wants a non-white therapist, and combined with all the other factors above, the only therapist she could find was a man. Obviously, I have no issue with that, even though I thought it was sus because she always talks about not trusting men in medical fields. But this guy gets a pass? As the weeks went on, I realized a change in my wife, some great, some just different. She looks more feminine lately. She's wearing lipstick. She's wearing different clothes. She hangs out with people I don't know and doesn't want to go out with our friends anymore. When I ask to meet these new people, she says things like, they're not really your crowd, and laughs it off. I recently told her I was concerned, and she just said that the things she's doing were recommended by her therapist. This seems really unethical. Am I wrong? I asked her to consider getting a new therapist because it's weird for a therapist to encourage someone to cut ties without talking to their spouse about it first. She's not happy with me. For clarity, we don't have kids. Our marriage is fine. She's in therapy for PTSD and depression. We live, oh, that part's not relevant, so I won't include it. Okay, what do you guys think?
It's hard.
I feel like there's a whole context here we're missing also.
Yes,
I'd
because
love
we're
to
getting
hear
the
more.
perspective from the husband and not from the wife. And I think that adds an interesting layer to it.
Well, I think that's also an important thing in general about the misuse or weaponization of therapy speak and therapy going, even because there can be this sense of, oh, my therapist told me that I need to have boundaries, so I'm going to cut off all of these friends, or something to that effect. It might give a certain impression about the therapeutic work, but we don't actually know what's going on in session. Or there are times as a therapist myself, I might say something or reflect something that is the client's own words, but they hear it differently, as if it's my suggestion or something like that.
I think we've probably all had the experience of a client saying, well, you told me to do XYZ thing. And I'm thinking, I did not tell you to do that.
Yeah.
And it can be a tricky thing to navigate the way that clients interpret what we're talking about in the sessions.
Right, because there's a power dynamic. They don't know a lot of like personal details about us, and what they might hear from us is like guidance or be seeking some direction. But I wonder if there's something about where the client, the wife, where she's at in her life for her to be open to a new kind of therapist or a male therapist. There's some interesting energy to that part of the message.
Yeah.
This is speculation, and that's the part that I let me know if you guys think that I'm reading this all wrong. You know, the husband says in the post that it doesn't bother him at all, but he says that, but he did think that it was suspicious. And one thing that I think is maybe a helpful perspective to keep in mind is that if a person has a particular wounding around like an identity, maybe with men or with women, it can actually be really therapeutically beneficial to work with a therapist that is shares that identity. So let's say, you know, he mentions his wife has a lot of mistrust with men in the medical field, and having a positive therapeutic experience with someone, a man in the medical field, can actually be really healing. That I don't necessarily think that that's a bad thing. I think that it can actually be a really generative thing. And one thing that I think also stuck out to me a little bit is that the husband mentioned that she's going to therapy to work through depression. And I think that a lot of the things that it sounds like she's doing differently maybe were, I don't necessarily know if the therapist suggested you should cut off all of your friends and make new friends, but it could be her feeling like she's in a little bit of a different place. Maybe they talked about things about putting herself out there more or creating her own social network to have a little bit of separation. Who knows? But I wonder if the it's more, it just needs to be a conversation with the wife about, you know, I notice you stop hanging out with these friends. Like, what's going on there? And getting curious, maybe rather than seeing the therapist as like turning her against these people or suggesting things that are unethical, because it doesn't necessarily sound to me that anything feels unethical there. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Yeah, I think definitely there are certain things that therapists do suggest when it comes to self-care, or if someone is having difficulty making friends, like just like different things you can try, like not meant as prescriptive, but as like, hey, have you considered, you know, joining a meetup group, or if you have a hobby, you know, finding something where you can meet people through that hobby and for depression and things like that, sleep routine. There are certain things that will help, right? Will help with decreasing symptoms. And so I think like suggestions like that can be misinterpreted, or it could just be interpreted by the client as like, okay, I will go do these things, maybe things that she has always wanted to do, but with this extra suggestion, she's actually going to do it, right? With the support of therapy, right? She's going to actually take action on some of these things. I think what's also interesting is that there's this judgment, right, from the husband, and not immediately. This is a letter, so he might have been thinking about this for some time. And he didn't say if he's already tried to talk with her, be curious about these things, and ask, you know, why are you doing these things? So, you know, that part is maybe missing, but just from the way the letter is written, it feels very final and very like he has decided that he has a problem with it, right?
Yeah, and I think that him sharing too that it sounds like his wife had a really difficult time finding a therapist to begin with. And if she found someone that she likes and feels like, you know, he said that there are certain things that have changed that feel like they're great. So it sounds like in some ways her symptoms are improving. To also have some sensitivity around how difficult and challenging it really can be to find the right fit. And that's not to say that the husband isn't entitled to his own feelings to maybe have a larger conversation to get more information about what's going on. But, you know, she gets to decide who she, which kind of providers she works with and who she feels like is a good fit for her ultimately at the end of the day.
Yeah, I agree that her saying, "Oh, my therapist thinks it's a good idea," seems to hide that she's also choosing to do or take these actions, like you're saying, Diana, because then it's like the therapist can become the scapegoat of that therapist is the problem, as opposed to her also making these choices in her life outside of sessions, too.
Yeah, I wanted to actually ask you about that, because there's also this power dynamic shift, right? Maybe previously, you know, the husband was the one who's well in the, you know, higher functioning, you know, or the one who's doing well in the relationship, and his wife was, in quotes, the sick one, right? And now she's in therapy, and now there's this other person that he doesn't know, the therapist, and his wife is changing and she's better. And like now the dynamic has shifted, right?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Diana.
Yeah, because she could be seeking more independence and want to have things that are just for her, which is fair. And maybe then the husband writing is also used to having a little more control, or you, like you're saying, like it's transferred on to the therapist or has brought him into it a little bit more. It's hard to say. If the husband was more controlling, I could understand the need for more privacy. And if he was more supportive and curious, then I could understand the need for giving him some reassurance or a clue into why he's doing it. And this case compared to the last post, I would say is different because it's between partners who are on equal playing fields compared to like a mother and a child, or even an adult child, where the power dynamics are quite different and the need to be on the same page or on the same team is a little less critical, in my
Yeah.
view.
Okay, cool. Maybe we can do a part two with some of the other ones.
Yeah, this would be fun to do, like even on a monthly basis.
I think one thing that I've noticed you talking about this, the internet wields the hammer of justice in a oftentimes very like intense and conclusive way. And even just talking about these situations with you guys, in the Reddit, if you go through the comments, people are just so firm of like, that person's in the wrong, you're in the wrong. And oftentimes things are much, much more complicated than that. There's a lot of stuff going on for people. People are really complicated, and we're motivated by things that we don't always understand. And so I think talking about this with you guys today also helped just highlight the nuance that is oftentimes missing, I think, when people are talking about this kind of stuff on the internet. And I imagine most of the people commenting this don't necessarily have the same background or perspectives as us as therapists, but that's just one thing I wanted to throw out there as an observation I made from our conversation today.
I'm kind of curious, like, what's the top comment from that
Let me
post? Just
see.
like the gist.
It says, "You're the a-hole. That's your wife shows improvement and starts having a more active social life, most likely because therapy is doing good, and your first response is to cut it off. She has found her own crowd and she's dressing up, and you should be happy for her. Maybe consider therapy for yourself or even going in for a session with her." And that seems to be kind of the general consensus,
Echoes.
which I think is quite harsh. But this person posted it on the internet. So when you post your stuff on the internet, you open yourself up to the wrath of
And
the
on that thread, he's asking for an answer.
internet.
Well, I think that what we did today is sort of like a sample of what therapy is, in the sense that we're slowing down, right? We're slowing down. We're not necessarily deciding what the right answer is. And I think that's what I tell my clients that we're doing. We're just going to slow down. Let's just pause, right? And helping everyone get some space so that that it's not about the solution necessarily, but about being able to just sit with things.
Yeah, and communicate about them. Because it feels like in both of these situations, and more open conversation about what therapy is doing for the person or why they've made certain changes would really help the situation. And, talking about stuff in our families or in our relationships can be really challenging for a lot of different reasons. But I think that that's something to kind of keep in mind. Cool.
Cool. This was so much fun.
Yeah, thanks, Sam.
Yeah, well, thanks for humoring my little experiment, my little idea.
Part two.
Yeah, definitely. I think it would be fun to talk about some other ones. I'll keep bookmarking ones that I feel like will be relevant as I see them popping up on the thread.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. Well, thanks everyone for listening. We'll talk to you all next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Beyond the Couch.
Tune in every Wednesday, rate or review us to help grow our community, and subscribe so you don't miss our next episode.
We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us on Instagram at Bridges Mental Health.